If one can only realize at heart what one's true nature is, one then will find that it is infinite wisdom, truth, and bliss, without beginning and without an end. This is liberation or enlightenment or self-realization. The individual being which identifies its existence with that of the life in the physical body as I is called the ego. The self, which is pure consciousness, has no ego sense about it. Neither can the physical body, which is inert in itself, have this ego sense. Between the two, that is, between the self or pure consciousness and the inert physical body, there arises mysteriously the ego sense or I notion, the hybrid which is neither of them, and this flourishes as an individual being. This ego or individual being is at the root of all that is futile and undesirable in life. Therefore, it is to be destroyed by any possible means. Then that which ever is alone remains resplendent. This is liberation or enlightenment or self-realization.
I am the deathless spirit. It was about 6 weeks before I left Madurai for good that the great change in my life took place. It was quite sudden. I was sitting alone in a room on the first floor of my uncle's house. I seldom had any sickness, or on that day, there was nothing wrong with my health, but a sudden violent fear of death overtook me. There was nothing in my state of health to account for it, and I did not try to account for it or to find out whether there was any reason for the fear. I just felt, I am going to die, and began thinking about what to do about it. It did not occur to me to consult a doctor or my elders or friends. I felt that I had to solve the problem myself, there and then. The shock of the fear of death drove my mind inward, and I said to myself mentally, without actually framing the words, "Now death has come. What does it mean? What is it that is dying? The body dies, and I at once dramatize the occurrence of death. I lay with my limbs stretched out, stiff, as though rigor mortis had set in, and imitated a corpse so as to give greater reality to the inquiry. I held my breath and kept my lips tightly closed so that no sound could escape, so that neither the word I nor any other word could be uttered. Well then, I said to myself, this body is dead. It will be carried stiff to the burning ground and there burnt and reduced to ashes. But with the death of this body, am I dead? Is the body I? It is silent and inert, but I feel the full force of my personality and even the voice of the I within me apart from it. So I am spirit, transcending the body. The body dies, but the spirit that transcends it cannot be touched by death. That means I am the deathless spirit. All this was not dull thought. It flashed through me vividly as living truth, which I perceived directly, almost without thought process. I was something very real, the only real thing about my present state and all the conscious activity connected with my body was centered on that I. From that moment onward, the I, or self, focused attention on itself by a powerful fascination. Fear of death had vanished once and for all. Absorbed in the self continued and broken from that time on.
The self alone exists, and the self alone is real. Verily, the self alone is the world, the I, and God. All that exists is but the manifestation of the Supreme Being. Self-inquiry or Bhakti Marga. There are only two ways to conquer destiny or to be independent of it. One is to inquire whose this destiny is and discover that only the ego is bound by it and not the self, and that the ego is non-existent. The other way is to kill the ego by completely surrendering to the Lord, realizing one's helplessness and saying all the time, "Not I, but Thou, O Lord," giving up all sense of I and mine, and leaving it to the Lord to do what He likes with you. Surrender can never be regarded as complete, so long as the devotee wants this or that from the Lord. True surrender is the love of God for the sake of love and nothing else, not even for the sake of salvation. In other words, complete effacement of the ego is necessary to conquer destiny. Whether you achieve this effacement through self-inquiry or through Bhakti Marga.
It is all in the mind, or Maya. Our real nature is liberation, but we imagine that we are bound and make strenuous efforts to get free, although all the while we are free. This is understood only when we reach that state. Then we shall be surprised to find that we were frantically striving to attain something that we always were and are. An illustration will make this clear. A man goes to sleep in this hall. He dreams he has gone on a world tour and is traveling over hill and dale, forest and plain, desert and sea, across various continents, and after many years of weary and strenuous travel, returns to this country, reaches Tiruvannamalai, enters the ashram, and walks into the hall. Just at that moment, he wakes up and finds that he has not moved at all, but has been sleeping where he lay down. He has not returned after great efforts to this hall, but was here all the time. It is exactly like that. If it is asked why, being free, we imagine ourselves bound, I answer, why, being in the hall, did you imagine you were on a world tour, crossing hill and dell, desert and sea? It is all in the mind, or Maya.
In a sense, speaking of self-realization is a delusion. It is only because people have been under the delusion that the non-self is the self, and the unreal, the real, that they have to be weaned out of it by the other delusion called self-realization. Because actually the self always is the self, and there is no such thing as realizing it. Who is to realize what and how when all that exists is the self and nothing but the self? The self is only being, not being this or that. It is simple being. Be, and there is the end of ignorance.
Self-inquiry. To inquire, who am I that am in bondage, and thus know one's real nature, is the only liberation. To keep the mind constantly turned inward and to abide thus in the self is the only self-inquiry. Just as it is futile to examine the rubbish that has been swept up only to be thrown away, so it is futile for him who seeks to know the self to set to work enumerating the tattvas that envelop the self and examining them instead of casting them away. He should consider the phenomenal world with reference to himself as merely a dream.
The self is pure consciousness, yet a man identifies himself with the body, which is insentient, and does not itself say, I am the body. Someone else says so. The unlimited self does not. Who does? A spurious eye arises between pure consciousness and the insentient body, and imagines itself to be limited to the body. Seek this, and it will vanish like a phantom. The phantom is the ego, or mind, or individuality. All the shastras are based on the rise of this phantom, whose elimination is their purpose. The present state is mere illusion. Its disillusion is the goal and nothing else.
The disciple asked, does Bhagavan use occult powers to make others realize the self, or is the mere fact of Bhagavan's realization enough for that? The Maharshi answered, the spiritual force of self-realization is far more powerful than the use of all the occult powers. Inasmuch as there is no ego in the sage, there are no others for him. What is the highest benefit that can be conferred on you? It is happiness, and happiness is born of peace. Peace can reign only where there is no disturbance, and disturbance is due to thoughts that arise in the mind. When the mind itself is absent, there will be perfect peace. Unless a person has annihilated the mind, he cannot gain peace and be happy. And unless he himself be happy, he cannot bestow happiness on others. Since, however, there are no others for the sage who has no mind, the mere fact of his self-realization is itself enough to make the others happy.
The disciple asks, "How can I get peace? I do not seem to obtain it through vichara." Sri Bhagavan replies, "Peace is your natural state. It is the mind that obstructs the natural state. Your vichara has been made only in the mind. Investigate what the mind is, and it will disappear. There is no such thing as the mind apart from thought. Nevertheless, because of the emergence of thought, you surmise something from which it starts and term that the mind. When you probe to see what it is, you find there is really no such thing as the mind. When the mind has thus vanished, you realize eternal peace."
Self-realization. The disciple asked, "Can I get knowledge of the self? That is, can I experience direct realization of the self?" Bhagavan said, "Why? Who is there without a knowledge of the self? Everyone has experience of the self." The disciple, "But I do not realize it." Bhagavan, "The fact is that all the while you know the self. How can the self not know the self? Only you, the self, have got into the habit of thinking that you are this, you are that, and you are the other. It is the wrong notion that produces or constitutes viparita bhavana of the self at present. And that is why you say you do not know the self. What is to be done is to get rid of the wrong notion of the self. That then clears up the self-knowledge or self-realization."
The disciple asked, "But I am ignorant of the method and of the self." Sri Bhagavan replies, "Who is ignorant of what? Ask the question and pursue the inquiry as to who it is that is said to be ignorant. Once you put the question, trying to probe into the eye disappears. Then What survives is self-knowledge or self-realization.